Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, zip up your leather pants, slap on the clown paint, and don't forget to eat something light as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
This is Monsteropolis, a show about monsters, anomalies, and legends. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove. I'm joined, as always, by my faithful, ever-loving friend.
Ever-present.
Mark Matzke.
Hello.
We missed two weeks. So, and we did it without warning. So we do apologize if you're a listener and, you were disappointed we disappeared, but we are back, and we are going to, basically, these are going to be catch-up episodes.
Yeah.
Well, this is a catch-up episode, and then we're going to do an episode all about Momo. The big thing is we have to discuss events. These events. We haven't done this in a while, so I immediately feel out of my element. What do we have coming up? So we just did Michigan Paracon. That was fun. I can talk a little bit about that. But
I want to hear about MUFON too.
Yeah. Okay. So next up is the premiere. So the official premiere of Momo, the Missouri Monster, is taking place on Friday. It's technically Saturday, but Friday. Mm-hmm. September 6th at midnight, in Lexington, Kentucky, at the Kentucky Theater downtown. Tickets are $7. I'll be there. Nick Groff will be there. Nick executive produced the movie with Elizabeth Saint. let me think. Cliff and Bobo, who have some of my favorite lines and scenes in the movie, Momo, and Zach and Jason will be with me. Are you coming?
I am not coming.
Mark can't handle the midnight. He just can't.
Yeah, at 9:30, I'm thinking, where's the nearest bed?
Yeah, someone asked me if I'll be sitting in, I think it was Cliff asked if I would be sitting in for the movie. And I said, there's not a chance, first of all, because I can't watch my own movies. And then also it's midnight. I'll be the guy sleeping through the movie and it's my movie. So yeah, that's and that's to help kick off CryptidCon, which is the third CryptidCon. If you're a fan of cryptozoology or the paranormal in general, it's a really fun event that we've done now 3 years in a row, and it's taking place there in Lexington. And I don't have any of the info in front of me, but visit CryptidCon.com for more information about location and ticket pricing and all that. The thing I told someone over the weekend is they were trying to decide between CryptidCon and another poorer event taking place not too far away. Mark's giving me the fatherly look where he's like, oh, he's done it. But what I always say is, like, the ticket price is really sensible for what you're getting, which is basically like a con, like a Comic-Con, but it's also got the conference kind of vibe because of the fact that you get to hear speakers talk about this stuff. So this year there's David Pilates is there. I think that's probably the big sort of personality they've got coming. But there's other, like, cryptid researchers and investigators that are going to be doing talks and stuff. So you get both. You get to interact with these people, but you also, you know, get the vendors room, which has a very Comic-Con kind of vibe. But then you've got these side panels that, you know, you can go hear people give talks about stuff. And I think it's cheap. For like a one-day ticket, it's like $20. It's a good deal. Autograph prices for me have gone up this year. We're at $475 if you'd like to get an autograph from
me. What about a picture with you?
That's, you know what? We're going to do you a favor. We're only going to increase the price by 400. So it's just an even 875. I'm kidding. If you're there, come by the table. We have not decided yet if we will have copies of Momo for sale.
And it really will be you,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it really will be me.
The Seth Breedlove.
Yeah, the Seth Breedlove. That's a throwback to a joke that now I'll probably have to explain later.
Yeah.
but yeah, the reason we don't know yet if we're going to have copies of MoMA for sale, the official release date is September 20th. We've had a ton of pre-orders. We also have 400 and some Kickstarter backers that are awaiting their DVD copy. So I would not feel comfortable selling the movie at the event without getting copies out to Kickstarter backers. So hopefully we've actually already got envelopes stuffed. So DVDs are coming today. And knowing my wife, she will be shipping stuff out starting tomorrow. So DVDs are going to go out soon. So if everything's out in the mail, we're going to sell them there. Otherwise,
you could do the Star Wars thing, you know, where they sold the package for.
Like an empty box.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll sell you an empty box. The weekend after Friday the 13th of September at the Canton Palace Theater, which is our favorite place to show movies. I've been told, and they still have this on the website, so I'm assuming it's correct. They call this the largest movie screen in Northeast Ohio. And so, I mean, I guess if you're going to ignore like Westlake with like the IMAX,
yeah. Right?
Because it can't be bigger than that.
No, I think a different shape too.
Right. Okay, so anyway, the largest rectangular...
Silver screen
in Ohio. Momo, the Missouri Monster, playing in Canton, Ohio, September 13th. Doors at 7. Screen starts at 7:30. I'll be there. Mark will be there. Honestly, this will be the biggest gathering of Small Town Monsters cast and crew. Adam will be up from Tennessee. I've been told Elizabeth is coming, so Elizabeth Saint will be there, and some of the other, a ton of the people actually in the movie, the boys, the Harrison boys, Amy, who played Doris, will be there. Sarah Heddleston, who plays Betty, will be there. So it's going to be a huge get. Ken Rose will be there, and probably in the Momo costume. So you can get your picture with Momo.
That guy's a trooper.
Yeah. And so be there for that. And we always do a Q&A afterward, and the Q&A is always a lot of fun. So, and our last screening there was just this past April, which was on the Trail of Bigfoot. Yeah. And it was a time and a half. It was one of the best times I've had.
Come watch us uncomfortably pass the microphone back and forth to each other.
Yeah. While you we stand it. In a glaring spotlight. But we'd love to see if anyone's in the area. And if you're traveling to the area from out of town, which occasionally does happen, people stay the night to see a movie there, let us know. And like, we'll get you hooked up with like where the best hotels are and stuff like that. We might even be able to put some sort of deal together with a hotel. Then September 20th, 21st, 22nd, we are at the Mothman Festival. Friday, September 20th, we are doing a screening of Terror in the Skies and Momo. September 20th is also the official release date of Momo. So we're celebrating the official launch of Momo at Mothman Festival. We're doing a free screen, completely free screening of those two titles at the State Theater. I'll be there. Zach, Jason will be there. Adam's still talking about coming up for that as well. Andy Matsky will be there. Sue Matsky will probably be there. Sue's in the movie as well.
Yep.
So there's going to be a number of people there as well. And it's in a haunted theater in downtown Point Pleasant, home of the Mothman. The one warning I've got to give is if you plan on attending this event, that Friday night Kickstarter event has been ours. They call it a Kickstarter. It's not the website. It's a kickoff.
It kicks
off the event. The Mothman Festival.
Yes.
We've done this now, what, three years, 4 years? You have yet to be at one, but... I think it's 3 or 4 years. It is our...
I dress up as a man in black.
Yeah.
Sort of stalking.
He's hiding across the street watching us. Every year we do this, it is probably our biggest night of the year. Just in terms of how many people we meet, the faces we see, it's easily 1,000 people on that first night. And the theater only seats 300. So if you are planning on coming, the reason I'm giving this warning is we have a Facebook event page that currently is over 9,000 people claiming they're coming or interested in coming. And, you know, in previous years we've had event pages and they were at like 1,000 people and we still saw about 1,000 people show up. So this is going to be, we're expecting it to be just jam packed. So try to get there early if you're interested in coming. We're also going to have a booth set up that night, despite the fact we'll also have a booth set up somewhere else the next 2 days over the weekend. We'll be right across from the Mothman Festival or the Mothman statue on Saturday and Sunday. But that Friday night, we'll have a booth set up right in front of the State Theater. You can come down and you can meet any of the crew. Some people just stop by the table, like they come out just to hang out at the table with us. So if you're really wanting to see the movies, and I'm assuming this is going to be pretty packed because Terror in the Skies hasn't gone to Prime yet, and Momo will be celebrating its release that day. So most people are not going to have seen either of these films, so it's going to be busy. If you really
want to... Take a fan.
Right. Yeah, take a fan. There's no air conditioning in the theater. Now, I will say there was one year, the first year, it was fine. It was like in the 50s outside by the time the sun went down, so it was good in there. But last year and the year before, I'm not exaggerating, the temperature had to be close to 100 in the building. But that'll really just kind of help with the sense of dread when you watch Momo. But we hope people will come to those three events. They're going to be a lot of fun. And then after that, pretty much that does it until late or mid-November when we'll be in Pennsylvania at the, what is that event called? This is like the Western Pennsylvania Freaky Fest.
Freaky Friday.
That's not what it's called. That's not what it's called. But we're going to be in Pennsylvania with a lot of investigators and stuff that we're familiar with. People that love Invasion on Chestnut Ridge are going to want to come because we're going to do a screening of Invasion on Chestnut Ridge and a screening of Momo. But again, I don't have the name of that event in front of me. So I see Mark is frantically trying to pull something up on his phone, so he might get it. If not, we'll make sure to mention that event on the next episode, but that's not till November. So anyway, this is a catch-up episode because Mark and I have missed 2 weeks in a row. So what have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
What have you been doing?
Well, among other things, I took a trip to St. Louis, Missouri, and saw signs for Alton, Illinois, but didn't have time to get up there.
I'll be there next year. I forgot to... I'll actually get to go. We're going to be at Troy Taylor's Haunted America. Locked it in yesterday. Yeah. That's like June 26th through the 28th next year. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it might be a Matsky family trip.
Yeah.
In the future.
Now, when you went down for the filming, did you see the world's largest golf tee?
No, I saw your pictures. Yeah. Of this. Yeah.
Evidently there's this town in Illinois that has at least 6 or 7 of the world's largest items.
Oh, wow.
Including a rocking chair and a dinner bell. But the one that I saw is the world's largest golf tee.
I feel like I did see the rocking chair.
Oh, okay.
What road is it off of? Is it off a highway?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to get off the exit to this town. I forget the name of it at the moment. But what got us there was just the travel sign that said attractions. Yeah. And it's plastered with world's largest, you know, toothpick and whatever else. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Checked out that toothpick. I'm interested in that.
Yeah. It's like the most touristy thing I've done in some time.
Did you get to go up into the arch at all?
No.
Have you ever done that?
No. I've only heard terrifying stories.
It sways. It's really creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've gone up. When I was a kid, my parents took us there and I've gone and I got to go up in it. The museum though, under the arch is great. Did you, the Western Expansion, I don't know what they call it. The gateway.
No, I had no time to do anything like that. We did eat in a great restaurant right down there called Sugar Fire Barbecue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was good. You would have liked that. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was licking the barbecue sauce off my lips.
Nothing
mentally.
More appetizing. It's funny that I'm super fascinated by that whole like Western expansion thing. There's a comic book called Manifest Destiny. Have I told you about this already, or have you read it?
Yeah. Well, you got me the first.
Did I?
The first volume. Yeah. Okay. That's how I started on it.
Okay. So Manifest, I want to make that movie. It's only been recently that I started thinking about this, but like, I want to contact the creators and be like, I probably shouldn't be talking about this. Someone's on, someone's going to listen and be like, we're going to scoop these rights up.
Yeah.
No, I'd love to make that movie because there's something about like the idea of going into a new world like that or pushing forward and then discovering like horrors waiting. Yeah. Yeah. And that actually was like in reality, that was the way it was to an extent. I'm talking about disease and death and things like that rather than, you know, the people that were, they ended up forcing out of their own lands when we moved into the West. But I'd love to make a movie about that. And that whole, like, that's one of those things kind of like 1940s ufology is for me, like Manifest Destiny. That's why when we made Terror in the Skies, I focused so heavily through the first like 15 minutes on that history. Cause that's something that really, that I'm really fascinated by. I did want to talk. Oh, is that your, is that it? Did you see a Thunderbird? Didn't you? You told me.
I saw some pretty big birds down there.
Yeah.
I mean, and then of course, you know, your mind gets going on the river and, you know, them going up north and south, just like it says in the film. I saw some cool artwork at the seminary that I was at. And this dovetails with the thing we have to go to at Cleveland Museum of Art, which is the medieval monsters thing.
You got to talk about that a little.
Yeah, it's I found some artwork there that's like Leviathan from Revelation, and that's in a window, and St. George and the dragon and stuff like that. So took pictures. And
can you talk about the exhibit? Because I do think, how long does that exhibit
go? That's until early October.
We should maybe try to go like next week or the week after or something like that.
Yeah, there's this great, great exhibit that goes through the history of medieval art and showing how monsters have always factored into both like geographical mapping and also in the theological writings of the era. And there's even multiple Bibles and religious writings that have, you know, it's depicting biblical scenes, and then in the corner, the artist put a monster. And it's just part of the whole thought world at the time. And the thing about the Cleveland Museum of Art that is pretty nice is that it's completely free. So you just have to either get down there or pay for parking. But once you're at the museum, the exhibit is free. You can just hang out there all day, look at all their collections. But it's a pretty extensive collection of manuscripts and sculpture, and just you see the medieval mind at work. And what would be, I think, especially interesting for listeners to this show is that there's a whole wild man section.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to, I think we'll try to do that for like an episode coming up. I'm trying to think of where to start. There's so much. I almost feel like I want to work backwards because my brain is still on Michigan time. So yeah, we went, I just got back from the MI, they call it MI Paracon, or, and I don't know what the official title actually is. I think it's just Michigan Paranormal Conference or something like that. This is, to my knowledge, one of the biggest, if not the biggest cons of this kind. Like, I'd say there were a few thousand people there all weekend. Their rooms, like their conference rooms where people speak, are, it's massive. It's by far, at this kind of event, it's by far the biggest I've been in, which is saying something, because we've done International Bigfoot Conference, which has a massive room. This is bigger than that.
No kidding.
And it's held in the Kiwaden Casino. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Sault Ste. Marie.
There it is.
In Michigan, which is right on, I mean, you can see Canada from like my room. You could see Canada out the window. So it's tip top of Michigan, and I'd never been up there, and we talked about this a little bit this morning, but like, I'd never been up there before, and I was astonished at how much that particular area really reminds me of like the Pacific Northwest without the mountains. Like, it just mass, like expansive and forested, and really cool how uninhabited it is up in that area. And you just didn't, I guess I hadn't I wasn't prepared for it. Like, I've always heard that Upper Peninsula is really beautiful, but I mean, there's like, I didn't get to see it, but like apparently along the coast of the Great Lakes, like it, you get these rock formations and stuff that make it look like you're in like the Mediterranean coast or something.
Right. Yeah. It's the pictured rocks coastline. I did a boat tour of that one when I was a kid. It's awesome.
Yeah. I was I was telling Adrian, like, we got to go up there. Cause like the other thing about it is one of my all time favorite movies is Somewhere in Time, which is this great movie with Christopher Reeves that I had to, I actually gave a play-by-play of what happens to Bobo one morning. He was trying not to fall asleep the entire time I was doing it, but it's a movie about a guy who falls in love with a woman in a picture of her from like the early 1900s, and then he finds a way to mentally time travel back to her, and it ends on one of the most depressing notes of any movie I've ever seen. But that whole movie was filmed at that Grand Hotel,
right,
which is right out on
Mackinac Island.
Mackinac Island.
Yeah.
So, and I actually tried to make it out there on the drive home. I had left early and I was driving through Mackinac City.
Yes.
And I got off the expressway and headed to the ferry, but apparently there was a fudge festival going on.
Oh my gosh.
And it was only like 7:30. The downtown was thronging with people and the boat line was going to be like 3 hour wait to get out to the island. So I didn't get to make it, but anyway, like really gorgeous area, and I'm excited to go back. It was like equal parts Pacific Northwest and then like New England. Like, it just felt very different from other areas of the East or Midwest, I guess.
Mm-hmm. They had a picture from Munising, Michigan, which is where you get the boat to look at the pictured rocks. Mm-hmm. And evidently, wolves are making a comeback in the Upper Peninsula as well.
So. Elk herds are apparently storming across the area. There's signs like we're used to sometimes, like when you're driving in like the Smokies or something, you'll get forest fire information on this. This is elk herd information. So you don't come, I guess, barreling down the highway and run over some elk. Elk are huge. You're going to kill yourself. Yeah. So anyway, like, yeah, the event was huge. It was very, it is a very cool event. The people that put the event on are super nice. They're people that I've got to meet through the events. And I told you, like, Greg Lawson was there. Mm-hmm. There's this lady named Shay who I'd love for you to meet at some point. Cause she's a marine biologist. She's kind of a genius. She's really cool. She's into our stuff too. She asked questions during the Q&A too, but, we showed Terror in the Skies while we were there. And, the response to, like, it was not a, I'll just be upfront. Like, it was not a huge crowd, but the crowd that was there really responded, positively to the film. And we had some really nice comments after it ended especially about the opening scene and things like that. And I've been pretty frank about the fact that this comes more to the forefront every time I watch it. And this is not a statement on any of the animation that's in the movie, but when I watch it now, I still get frustrated that I didn't just shoot all the recreations myself. Cause I love the way that opening came together. And I would have loved to have sort of gone back to that look over and over again throughout the movie. Just wanted to get one of those self-mutilating comments in there.
Well, that moves into the realm of, when the day comes where you can do all the reboots and the director's cuts and stuff, that takes its place.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, the event was cool. We were with a lot of, I mean, John Tenney was there and he was, I Cliff and Bobo I've been with already. Well, Cliff I've been with at least once this year, if not twice. I think it's twice this year. Yeah, twice. Cause he was in Maine when we were there. Right. And then I was with him in Pennsylvania. So I've already been with Cliff a couple times. I think I hadn't seen Bobo since CryptidCon last year, if I'm remembering correctly. So that was cool. We hung out. I got to hang out with those guys. We went out for dinner one night and had a really good time with them. And
did Cliff talk about the museum?
He did. Launch? Yeah. Yeah. I think he's really happy with the way everything's gone. I also think he's completely exhausted. Like he just needs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's
totally, that way in Maine. Yeah. You know, you could just see all his thought was bent on getting that museum ready to go.
Yeah. And everything I've seen about it is really, really positive. And I told him, like, Adrian and I actually want to like rent a RV and come out that way or something for like a trip, like a family vacation.
Yeah.
So that event, and that was about it for that event. Like, it was, you know, I did a screening of Terror in the Skies. Most of it was me sitting at a booth. The weekend before, was it the weekend before? Or the weekend before the weekend before? I can't remember. There was a weekend in there where, it was the weekend before.
Okay.
I was at, I got to speak at the MUFON conference, but my talk is like the least interesting thing that happened at this. So can we talk real quick about the coin UFO thing and then come back to this?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So,
but before we do that, I just want to get your impression of the driving the Mackinac Bridge. Cause we haven't even talked about it.
It's terrifying. And I say that as someone who's driven over the bridge from, Maryland into Delaware, which is, it's like a huge bridge. It's something like 3 miles or something. It's a very long bridge. This is not that. This is like, you're so high up and then it doesn't stop. Like, you just feel like you're just going nonstop. And on the way there, it was terrible because there was construction on the bridge.
Oh, was there really?
So they had it down to one lane and the side I was on driving on had that grating on it.
Right.
Instead of like concrete or whatever. And
you can see.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm going to die up here. This is great. No, it's terrifying.
You know, one time when Andy was little, we had to drive over that bridge and there was a wind advisory. So they had these big signs up saying, you know, stay in the middle lane and don't go over this speed. And that was white knuckle time.
Well, I think that's what's interesting or terrifying about it is you can drive off that bridge. No problem.
That's happened too. I understand there's been small cars, especially have been just flipped. Right,
because like the sides have no there. I mean, there's a guardrail at the one section, but once you're out of the bridge, the suspension areas there, it goes down to like, there's like a bar on the side that doesn't even come up to like your wheels. It's like, I feel like if I wanted to, I could just be like, okay, it's all over.
Goodbye, cruel world.
No, it was scary.
It used to be either Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend, they would shut the bridge down and people would walk across it.
Yeah, you idiots. We all get blown into the air. So Mackinac. What is it called? Mackinac? Why do I keep saying Mackinac? What's Mackinac?
Well, that's a phonetic pronunciation.
Okay.
It's easy to do.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
No, true. True. It's, if you just sounded it out, that's what it would be.
Okay. So yeah, the MUFON thing. So the other speakers, I can't remember any of their names. So listen, it was two weeks ago.
Saucer people.
We're
going to talk about the coin.
Yeah. Wanted to really quickly mention that the other speakers are great. And I had met, so the MUFON Ohio state director, I had met at Kent, the Kent stage this past spring and was, super into his talk. It was all about the Portage Lakes UFO incident, which is one of my favorite UFO stories. And, what struck me is he's very well spoken, but he is very detail oriented. Like he doesn't rest at like sort of finding out some details about the case and like relating them to people. He has tracked down as many people related to that original case and he'll interview them and very historically minded, like into the historical aspects of all these cases. So, he gave a talk and it was actually just to kill time because they had time to kill between one of the speakers and something else. Oh, they were waiting on their potato bar to get finished. That's what it was. So he gave like a 40-minute talk about the coin UFO incident. And maybe I'm just like a moron for not knowing this, but I had never heard about this. Had you? You knew about it?
I don't. It's not super familiar. Okay.
Because like I've asked people since and they all were like, well, yeah. So I get the impression we might be idiots. So the coin UFO incident, it's like 1973. I want to say it's 73. And it's in Ohio and there is a helicopter, crew flying over Charles Mill Lake, which happens to be home to the Charles Mill Lake monster case from 1957. Or is it 47? No, it's 57. Maybe it's not 50. I can't remember. 1959. Anyway, it's the 1950s, yeah. and those three kids see an armless amphibious monster come out of Charles Mill Lake. So I thought that was kind of a cool mm-hmm. correlation there. Anyway, this helicopter crew is flying over Charles Mill Lake, and they encountered some sort of object in the sky. The object at first was just kind of playing with them, flying circles around them, and they started trying to like lose this thing and were performing maneuvers, trying to lose it, and it stuck with them the entire time. Eventually it hits them with a beam of some sort. Mm. The entire crew, felt as if they weren't afraid of this object. They were just super curious about it. Now, what's really interesting is like, this is a really apparently like a somewhat popular case. A lot of the original witnesses from the crew are alive. I think one of them's dead. Most of them are still alive. One of them lives here in Cleveland. Hmm. Another one lives down in Georgia. They're both, strangely enough, both of those guys are police department officials. There's also...
Now, did J. Allen Hynek have a hand in
I believe
Hynek
did
that?
Have something to do with
that
this.
The only... what is occurring to me is that in the book about Hynek that I read... Mm-hmm. That's one of the first ones that he
I think it is.
Got pulled into.
Yeah. So what was really cool was that there was a guy in the audience and Thomas, and I can't remember his name. Thomas is the MUFON Ohio State director. He's giving his talk and he mentions that there was a large group of people on the ground who saw this happening. They witnessed it going over and he said, and one of them happens to be in the audience and they called on this guy. And it turns out this guy is now like the fire chief of like Ashland County?
Yeah.
Just Ashland County. He called on him. He came up and, told his remembrance of what happened. Then apparently him and a bunch of high school kids were out having a good time and they saw this go over and he said, it wasn't just him. It was like him and 20 other kids. So there's a whole slew of witnesses in the air and on the ground that are still around for this incident that is very clearly, you know, like UFO related. And it was the way Tom like relates all this stuff is so cool. And I really hope at some point you can hear him talking. I want to try to get him on the show and we might even do like a UFO, couple UFO episodes with him in the next couple of months. Cause mm-hmm. I really want to get him on to have him like tell us these stories. Cause the way he does this is so, he's just so detail oriented yeah. that I was super into the way he does his thing. So anyway, that was one thing that I thought was really cool. There was a husband and wife there and I'm supposed to interview them for On the Trail of UFOs, which is embarrassing now. They're also tied into MUFON, but they're tied into, they're geniuses, both of them.
Okay.
it starts with an S. Their name starts with an S.
Yeah.
That's going to drive me crazy. I got to look it up.
Okay.
I can edit this out if I don't feel, I don't know what I'm saying. Hold on. I already got it. I just want to make sure I get it. Okay. It's Rob and Susan Swiatek. Now Susan actually runs the Fort Fest event.
Okay.
And she is a fairly big STM fan. So she actually showed Mothman of Point Pleasant at that event last year and said the response to it was great. So anyway, they were really interesting too, but Tom's talk about that coin incident was my favorite part. I did a talk about basically like historical preservation through film and things like that. And it was also sort of an introduction for the audience to Small Town Monsters and what it is we do and how we do. I showed a picture of you and like I kind of introduced the whole crew. The only thing I can say about it is I've given talks many times, and many times at like events and you typically lose at least a couple of members of the, I didn't lose anyone. And I talked for 90 some minutes,
wow,
which is astonishing.
Yeah. Was that recorded at all?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. No, but they do studiously take notes. Mm-hmm. And then I think when they put out their newsletter, there will be sort of like the minutes or whatever, you know, okay, like what happened. It seemed to go very well. And you know, there were a ton of, the Q&A just kept going and going. People were really into that part of it as well. So
what type of questions did you get in that setting? Were they different?
It was more geared around like, cause you got to think like, my impression was that a lot of the audience didn't know that much about like monsters, like cryptids and things like that. So you got a lot of questions about like Minerva Monster and like Bigfoot and like my own personal opinions on whether or not they're connected and stuff like that. So that was interesting. And it was like, you know, like I hear a lot of flack hurled at MUFON these days, and I think some of it's understandable, but I will say that the crowd that was there is one of the kindest, most engaged crowds I've been a part of at a conference of any kind. They were just super into the subject, and I thought that in itself was cool. They weren't there to like meet celebrities and that kind of thing. They were there to engage with the topic, and they were interested in the subject. And so that's my kind of, I think that's become obvious to me. That's my crowd.
Yeah.
You know,
that's cool.
So,
was it mostly Ohio or were they from all over?
I think they were from all over sort of surrounding areas. Yeah. Now I did, you know, there were a number of people there that came there because we were there, which was also kind of cool. But yeah, I think there were people from all over, and I would, again, this was the MUFON of Ohio, conference. And it was held in Belleville, Ohio, which is a really cool area. But if you can, like, I feel like events like this might get overlooked in a state like Ohio because there's so many other events taking place. It does not seem to me as if they are gearing the thing around a celeb. It's around people who can talk about the subject and offer some insight. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And it was, of the events that I've been a part of since I started doing this, it's one of my favorites just because it was so, so interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to stay engaged at stuff like that in the subject that's being taught. It's hard because I'm sitting at the back, I'm running a table and I'm tired, you know, cause you're just kind of sitting there. And I still was like engaged the entire day with what was being talked about. So, if you can, I would recommend it. I will say it was completely sold out. I mean, there was no room. There were people standing at the back. You know, all the seats were gone by the time. It was probably a fire hazard, to be honest, because like they were crammed in there. And they kept adding seats. And then it got to the point where there were no more seats. People just kept standing at the back. So
nice.
I really think it was one of the better events I've been to, especially in Ohio.
Were there a lot of books and stuff in the vendors area?
No. There was no vendor area.
There was?
There was me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the other thing. It's like, it was funny. The first like 4 hours, you know, I didn't sell a thing. I might have sold like one DVD. I did my talk and it got flooded. Like, and then all sorts of people were interested in the product because I think they might have thought I was like a TV, like a ghost hunter or something like that.
Right.
And so when you get up, I was talking, you know, I used Tom as an example of like what we're kind of like striving for because like he's into those details. He's into talking to the original witnesses and getting the ins and outs of the case. And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
So highly recommend that event. And that's my catch up. I didn't witness anything. I didn't see a UFO yet. I'm working on it. You're working. Did we do an episode where I talked about like the On the Trail of UFOs filming?
Not really. I don't think so.
I don't know. Like, I don't really know. Maybe when we get a little closer to the release of the film, we'll do something where we get Shannon and Chase up here or something and talk about it. Shannon will be here in October, so I'd like to try to get her on. Oops. Sorry, everyone. I'd like to try to get her on an episode then. But I think for now, we're good. This is the catch-up episode. Next episode is all going to be... Next episode is going to be all about Momo, the Missouri Monster, and Mark and I sort of pontificating on the creation of the film and our remembrances of the behind the scenes, the behind the scenes that we both participated in. But there's going to be other Momo episodes coming up as well. So that movie comes out September 20th. You can pre-order it now, smalltownmonsters.com. I hope to see you guys at some of these events. Next week is the premiere. So thanks for tuning in.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com. It is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.